invite you to turn back to that passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We've entitled our message tonight, Christ Not Wanted. And let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of prayer as we come. Preaching of God's Word, you pray the Lord might speak to your heart, your soul tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for the truth of the hymn we've just been singing. Lord, as you passed the way into the Gadarene country, so Lord, we pray it might be so that Thou will pass this way tonight. And Lord, you'll come in. And you'll come in, Lord, to meet with one soul, as you did in this passage. We'd ask, Lord, that a soul tonight would know what it is to be delivered and saved by Thy grace. Lord, to that end, shut us in with Thyself. O God, I pray for the filling of Thy Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that Thou would give us words from Thyself. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray there might be signs following the preaching of Thine eternal words. Do answer prayer, for we offer it in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Did you ever consider that people today are more concerned about their finances and their possessions than they are about their soul? How many are told of the conversions of souls, whether it be at home or whether it be in abroad, and of the need to be born again of God's Spirit, and yet they hear it with indifference. And it doesn't seem to cost them a thought. But when they're faced with the devaluing of their property, or with a change in the economic circumstances that affects their pocket and their own lifestyle, then there is great alarm, and there's much anxiety. And like the preacher of old, we can only say tonight, there is nothing new under the sun. For it was the same when the Savior walked upon this scene of time, and especially so in that country that was known as the Gadarene. With his disciples, they were to cross over the Sea of Galilee. Albeit it was through a storm and with a rebuke to the faith of his closest. He had said to them that they were going over to the other side, and yet their faith was questioned, and their faith questioned whether they would make it or not. As the winds arose and as the boat began to take in water, when Christ says to his flock that he will bring them over to the other side, then, dear child of God, don't doubt his word. Don't doubt his promise. For he will do so. Even though it may be through the storms of life and whatever perilous times have to be faced, he will bring each of his children safely to the other shore. The disciples were to marvel at the very winds and the water where to obey him. But you know, they were to see greater when they were to arrive on that other side. For Christ to come into this area, and it was never to be the same again. His power and his authority was in evidence, for we know that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But yet we are brought to consider almost unbelievable words that are found in my text tonight. They are the opening words of verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Here is an unusual request, but yet one which was to be granted, as the Savior was to take leave from that area. For here were those who loved the world and who loved the things of it and were determined not to give them up. For Christ was not wanted. I trust that is not the response of any heart under the sound of Christ's word this evening in this meeting house. I want you to consider, first of all, with me this evening, the deliverance. You know, we hear much about community these days and problems that are found within these communities. But here is a community in the Scriptures wherein things weren't right. There was a great unease in this place. And it was something that the all-knowing Christ understood ere He ever stepped off that boat and into their midst. The Lord Jesus Christ, being God, knows all things and has all power to deal with the most difficult of circumstances. And it wasn't long before the most difficult of circumstances was standing right before Him. Do you read the words of verse 27? And when they went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the wombs. I want you to remember that the purpose of the Savior's coming was to deliver such an one. You often read in the Scriptures that the Lord deals with individuals. And John reminds us that the Son of Man was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. And here is a case in point. And it is my prayer, as I've already intimated, that the Lord would come by and deal with an individual in this service tonight. There's deliverance through Christ for this helpless soul. And that is what this man was. He was demon-possessed. He was unable to do anything for himself. We read in Mark's account that he was unable to be tamed. The chains that were put upon him were to be broken, and such a helpless soul and case this is of the devil that he did not abide in any house, we read. In the sense of the word house there means that he could not abide in any family. He was unable to abide in any household. He could not live among the living. He had to dwell amongst the dead in the tombs. The helplessness of this man is noted in that he was enslaved to the many devils that had entered into him. He was helpless, and so was that community to do anything about him. And dear friends, tonight there is little difference to this day, for sin enslaves. The sinner is one who is helpless to do anything for themselves. The old master, the devil, has bound with many a sin that they cannot break free. And all the social policies and all the money will not change them one iota. They are helpless sinners. And my friend, for some of you, it is just like this man. It has been that way for many years now, for a long time. For the Scriptures remind us that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And many a new leaf has been turned. Many a new resolve has had the best of intentions at the start of a new year, but it has not delivered you from your sin. And whilst you dwell among the living, and whilst you have physical life tonight, yet the Scriptures remind you that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. You cannot do anything for yourself. I want you to see that this man, there was deliverance for him from the hurting. What Christ saw as he looked at this man was one who was helpless but also hurting. In Mark's account we have the added detail that he would be found crying and cutting himself. He was inflicting damage on himself. He was hurting his own body as he lived in this manner and as he was possessed of these demons. But not only was he hurting himself, but he was liable to hurt others as well. Here was one who was uncontrollable. He couldn't do anything for himself, and there was no one else who could prevent him from hurting himself or from hurting others around him. And tell me, is the same not the case to this day? There are many causes of self-harm in the physical sense. The devil drives some people to do those things. But let me cause you to consider the spiritual parallel. And there are those who dwell in sin and under the control of the devil, and they're hurting themselves. That means that the means by which the devil will use may be the drink, it may be the drugs, it may be the gambling school, it may be the moral lifestyle. But behind it all, it is the devil, and it is hurting. The sinner only has pleasure for a short season, and then comes the pain. Think of others who are hurting. No man is an island. No man lives under himself. their loved ones who are hurting tonight. Fathers and mothers maybe sitting in God's house tonight and their heart is breaking. Wives and children who are living under the threat continually, and are fearful where it shall all end. For sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Dear soul, without Christ, you need deliverance from the pain that sin has caused, and the danger of having, of hurting eternally in that place of torment. You'll see that the deliverance that was needed in Gadara was from the hindrance of this demon-possessed man. In Matthew's account, it details that no man of the community could pass by that way. This demon-possessed man was a hindrance to these people. And in the words of the proverb, we might say, while righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. I want to tell you, sin is a hindrance to any community tonight. Sin is a hindrance to any church tonight. Sin is a hindrance to any soul. And when Christ, the only deliverer from sin, comes in, then sin has to go out. For the two cannot dwell together, for how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I wonder tonight, am I preaching to one who would rather have their sin than the Savior? Am I preaching to someone tonight who would rather have the hindrances to the blessing than the giver of all blessings? Then you, like this man, need the deliverance that only Christ can give you in the gospel. You just need what this man needed. You needed a visitation. You need a visitation from the Lord. You need a touch from the Master. And that has been presented to you again in the message of the gospel. But not only do you see the deliverance, but also I want you to notice here the disturbance. You see, when the Savior comes in, there's a difference that is to be noted. Were once free in confusion and disorder, there now was the one who created all things out of nothing, and all was very good. And I tell you, there was a disturbance in that community. For this disturbance was seen through the sufficiency of Christ. Man who was enslaved and who was possessed, he was to be set gloriously free. The power of Christ is able to overcome the greatest forces of evil in the heart of any man. And that is what this city saw when they went out and to see the Savior. You look at the words of verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They saw his sufficiency over helplessness, over the hurt, over the hindrance that they had known for years. The man who could not be tamed, the one who was uncontrollable and was beyond the ability of any one of them to help him, was suddenly now sitting. He was told, he was in his right mind. There was complete deliverance. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. The power of Christ was sufficient to change this man from inside out. Sufficient even over the very demons of hell. And dear friend, in the gospel tonight, I want to tell you the Savior that I present to you is sufficient. He's sufficient to meet you at the very point of your need. If the one we present to you is dead, what kind of a Savior would that be? He'd be no Savior at all. If the Savior we presented to you tonight was still on the cross, what sort of Savior would that be? Praise God, he's not on the cross. Praise God, he's not in the tomb, for he had not a power to lay down his life. He had the power to take it up again. You listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If we present to you a Savior who is unable to pardon one sin, then what kind of a Savior would that be? He would be no Savior at all. He was to offer up himself without spot unto God, a perfect sacrifice. Having shed his own precious blood, his work of atonement at Calvary is sufficient, and it's satisfactory, and it is able to cleanse the vilest sinner clean. Calvary can never be added to. It's a complete work. It's a sufficient work to save you from your sin. I have left before you the sufficiency of Christ and Him crucified to save a poor wretch of a sinner like you. Christ is sufficient to save you. I tell you something else. He's sufficient to keep you. For we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. He's sufficient to make you an overcomer of those things that you cannot conquer in your life of sin. Ah, preacher, I've tried to overcome that old sin and I can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because you haven't Christ. You haven't got a salvation. Whom the Lord sets free shall be free indeed. The sufficiency of Christ was the cause of disturbance here. That'll cause a disturbance amongst your mates, and it'll cause a disturbance maybe among your home if you get saved. Because others will see a difference. I want you to see that there was a disturbance because of the sovereignty of Christ. For when Christ delivered the man from the demons, it was noted he had power and he had authority. And that authority was sovereign, for at his word they were to come out of him, and by a sovereign power they were to go into the herd of the swine. In verse 32, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Just how sovereign the Lord is can be noted in that the man's name was Legion. And I understand that a legion of the Roman military unit was somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers. But yet one word from the Savior, one word to that man called Legion, and the legion of demons were cowing before him, the one who has power in heaven and in earth. One word from him, and they had to leave their human prey. Christ speaks a word, and it shall be done. Wonder, did you note the words that the demon within the demoniac was to speak? Though I confess tonight we're in a very familiar passage. No doubt you've read this many a time. But I direct your gaze to the words of verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." They knew who Christ was. That's more than some people know in this land of Ulster tonight, a land that has been privileged with the gospel. Jesus, thou Son of God Most High, the demons knew who Christ is. James 2:19 reminds us that the devils believe and tremble. He could torment them if he chose. You see that word torment? It's a word that is used of the devil and his angels in Revelation 20 and verse 10. Let me read it to you. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." It's the same word. Torment me not. I want you to turn over to Matthew's account, because I believe in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29 is brought out in even more startling fashion. It's a corresponding passage, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 29. Listen to this. "And behold, they cried out, saying, What are we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" You ever see that? The devils know what their end shall be. That's more than many people want to believe in this land as well. Because there are many people, and they do not want to believe that there is a hell, or that they need God's salvation. But the demons of hell know their end.
I want to tell you that the devils believed, and they knew the sovereignty, and they knew the authority of Christ could cast them into those torments there and then. And so they plead otherwise in verse 31. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep.
That word deep is used 7 times in the book of the Revelation. And every time it is translated the bottomless pit. They desired not to be sent to that bottomless pit just yet. So that is why they asked permission of the Savior to embody the herd of swine, verse 32. And he suffered them. Verse 33 shows us that they embodied those swine, and the swine ran down into the lake and were choked. The demons cringe. They bow in submission before the all-prevailing power of Christ. Then how much more should God's redeemed bow lowly at his feet in adoration and worship? Aye, how much more ought sinful sons of Adam's race bow down in repentance and plead for God's mercy and salvation to their souls. The sovereignty of Christ caused disturbance. But it is one thing getting rid of the demon possession, it's another thing when it affected their way of life, you see. And the salvation of Christ causes disturbance. It did so with those who saw their living lost by the drowning of the swine. To them, Christ had interfered with their way of life, and that would never do. We have another example, of course, of that in Acts chapter 16, where the woman was delivered. That was to follow Paul and Silas. And it says in verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. This woman who was possessed with a spirit of divination was saved and delivered. They realized that their means of a wee bit of money was gone. They didn't like it. And so it was with these people. You know, to some people the issue is just the same. The Savior is to be Lord over all their lives. But of some part of that, the answer of the heart may be Christ is not wanted there. Graham Scroggie told of a woman in one of his meetings who was greatly disturbed. When he spoke to her, he realized that she was fighting over the Lordship of Christ in the whole of her life. There's one area that she didn't want to yield up to the Savior. Scroggie turned her to Acts chapter 10. That vision that Peter had while he slept upon the top of the house. You remember how the sheep was let down 3 times with the unclean animals upon it, and he was commanded to arise and eat. In the words of verse 14, his response was, "Not so, Lord." And Scroggie said to the woman, that therein lay a contradiction. You can't say, "Lord," and then in the next breath say, "Not so." He gave the woman a pencil. He said to her, "You must cross out, Lord, or else cross out the words, not so." I thought he left her. And back a short time later, to find her head bowed and the words, "Not so," crossed out. She had got the victory. What about you, child of God? Maybe there's just a wee word in the message of the gospel for you tonight. Is the Lord sovereign over every part of your life? I tell you this, the salvation of Christ causes disturbance. And it caused disturbance in this land. And so therefore, it leads me on to show you finally the dismissal. You see, it was in light of what they had heard and were to see of their livestock that his dismissal was tragically requested, in the words of my text. And the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. By popular demand, they requested that the Savior would get out of the country. Just you think for a moment of the bluntness of that. Consider who it was that they requested to leave. They besought him. It was the Lord of glory. It was the all-conquering Savior who delivered the man from his demon possession and the area from the threat of him. And yet there's not a word of gratitude here for the good which he had done. Just that he might leave them alone. They didn't want the only Savior in the mix. They didn't want the Lord of glory to be there. What a tragic request that is. What a tragedy if there should be those who would say, "Depart from me. I will not have this man to rule over me." And yet, my friend, if you're honest, that has been the response of many who have sat under his word and seen the power of God in evidence in the deliverance of other souls. Dismiss the Son of God and you dismiss any hope of ever having your sins forgiven, of a home in heaven, and that for all eternity. You see, the dismissal was a proof being rejected. The Savior who came into the country was to expose their sin, and he was to expel the demons who possessed the man. He was the truth of God incarnate. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And yet here were a people who didn't want the truth. What a contrast by verse 40, by the way. There are those who did want the truth. There are those who were waiting for him to come back over the other side of the lake. Those who didn't want the truth, and yet there's no difference to this day. Men would rather have lies than truth. Jeremiah chapter 5, the last verse says this: "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" The words of John 3 give the same connotation, the same thought. And verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They desired that he might depart from them, and the Lord was to take them at their word, as the end of verse 37 says, for it says, "He went up into the ship and returned back again." He will never force himself upon a people or an area. And remember that God's word is truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Reject Christ, and you reject any hope of ever being free from the bondage of your sin or the bondage of the devil.
They dismissed him. "We don't want you. Out of the contrary." While their dismissal was to remove the Savior, there was a testimony that remained. The man who was saved, the man who was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of the Lord, was to bring his request. He besought the Lord in verse 38, and it was a request that was denied. He wanted to go with the Lord. And dear child of God, that's the most natural thing for someone who's saved. You want to be with the Lord. You want to be where the Lord is. You want to come into his house. You want to be in the place of prayer. This man wanted to go with the Lord. But his request was denied. Because the Lord was to bid him to return home and to show great things what God had done unto him. And you know, we read that he was faithful to his bidding. Verse 39. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. His changed life was a testimony that could not be dismissed. It was one which lived on in the very place where Christ was not wanted.
So it is my prayer for you that there will be someone in your home, there will be someone in this church, and they are a blessed living testimony ever before your mind of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He can do for a sinner like you who receives Him into their heart and life by faith. And it will be a testimony that you can't dismiss, for you know it's true. There's a little footnote. Did the Savior ever come back to this area? I'm not so sure that He did. He may have done. But what is sure is that one day He's coming back again to this earth. And He's coming back for His people. And that begs me to ask the question in closing, are you one of them? Are you one of them? Are you sitting at Jesus' feet? Are you clothed in His righteousness? And in your right mind? If not, may God work that miracle of grace in your heart just now, even tonight, for His glory's sake. And I pray that your response will not be, "Christ not wanted." May God speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. The Lord be pleased to bless His word to each and every heart for His own name's sake. I'll close by singing 292. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into Thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to Thee. We'll sing the first and the last verses of 292, and we'll stand as we sing, please. That this is your prayer. Jesus, I come to Thee. O sinner, come tonight. We see it. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank the Lord You're able to save the worst wretch. The Apostle Paul could speak of the Lord coming into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord, I pray that Thou would save tonight for Thy glory's sake. Deliver from the chains that bind. Set a prisoner free. And O God, may they go forth from this meeting house telling of all the great things the Lord has done for them. May there not be a soul that will say, Christ not wanted. Depart from me. Hear and answer prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us a blessed week in Thy house. For we ask and pray these things in our Savior's name.